So you get excited because they're excited, gets me excited, gets all our fans excited, and our sponsors. Good. So it's going to work out.
Bless you, boys! Unbelievable! I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
Step into the well-informed, ill-advised, and oddly entertaining world of Talkin' Sports.
Here we go!
Light the candle!
And we're off and running. Tall Can Sports.
Ambling more than running.
Yeah, for sure. Tall Can Leisure. I'm Matt. That's Rob.
We are a couple of guys looking good.
Two wild and crazy guys.
Polyester suits.
There is a strict uniform, a strict dress code to the studio.
Matt's in the baby blues today. Obviously. I am in the nice light orange.
Wow. That'd be a good look for you, man. You don't wear enough orange.
Are you kidding me?
You'd really highlight your eyes.
I own three different orange shirts.
It's not enough, man.
Okay.
Telling you. What's happening? You know what? I think maybe the greatest upgrade we've ever made in the studio.
Did you ask the question of me and then just gloss right over it?
I'm taking it back.
Because you knew I wasn't going to ask you.
For sure I did.
What's up, Matt?
The greatest upgrade we've ever made to this studio is pretty clearly.
I think you're going to find out soon that it's not actually the greatest upgrade.
Certainly not the co-host. We've got a keg fridge, and it is currently pouring wonderful amber ale. I think it's called the Grindstone Amber from the Broadhead Brewing Company here in Ottawa. We called them up a couple days ago, just asking for, you know, what do you have? Because some of these craft breweries, understandably so, with their margins, they don't always have everything. They don't have kegs of everything available. You need a little bit of time here and there when you brew in this, when you brew in that. So we called the other day and said, what do you got? What do you want? He rang off a couple that they were brewing at the time. I said, well, wouldn't mind some of the amber. So I could have that ready for you in about 15 minutes. Well, we'll see you in 15 minutes, my friend.
We'll see you in 16. How about
right,
that?
Exactly. So we got her hooked up out there in the studio. Those of you who follow us on the Instagram at Tall Can Audio already saw that installation process go down. And this afternoon, in preparation for the show, I think it's been doing a wonderful job dispensing.
Well, and see, this is what it comes down to, is we have done a couple of hours of show prep.
Yeah.
Which may or may not have involved a couple of pizzas.
Usually we prep during the show.
Yes. So, but instead we thought, you got to give the lines a good run.
Yeah.
Make sure you're drinking this beer at its optimum.
And I think we are. It really feels like we are.
I think we've hit a good stride.
Yeah, for sure. I wanted to hit you with something that I know you don't know anything about, but I thought it was a cool idea.
Well,
this could be anything.
Leaves us all totally guessing here because that could be anything.
I thought it was a cool idea that Steve Dangle and one of his viewers has started. It's called the Marner Jar. And I know this is where Rob balks at it before knowing what it is. But
nope.
Steve Dangle made a point in one of his Leaf recap videos that it's almost harder being a fan of a competitive team than a shitty one, especially right now, because every time Mitch Marner does something awesome, instead of loving it, you're like, oh, there's another $600,000 on the cap or whatever it might be. And he said, you know what? Everybody's just got to get over it and enjoy the team for what it is, and the cap will take care of itself later. So one of his fine viewers started the MarnerJar.com. And what it does is you're supposed to, anytime you find yourself cursing the cap or not enjoying all the stuff that Mitch Marner is doing at face value and always worrying about what it's going to mean, you're supposed to put a dollar in the Marner Jar. And the Marner Jar proceeds go to the Sick Kids Foundation in Toronto. They're building an entirely new Sick Kids. It's going to cost somewhere in the neighborhood of a buttload of money, possibly two buttloads. And they've already raised over $5,000. People that just show up, a lot of people giving a buck here, $2 there, a lot of people giving $16. That's the number he wears, obviously. But it was a neat idea. And after our debate last week on what was going to go down with Mitch Marner, we went and threw in on behalf of TCA $16 to the Marner jar. So if you find yourself not enjoying Mitch the way you should, it's kind of like the swear jar, right? Yeah, but that's going to be another $1 million.
Yeah. Great cause.
Yeah.
To be honest with you. You guys are in a spot, and I mean Leaf fans.
Yeah.
Where everybody seems to go through the phase of, if he's not a superstar on your team,
yeah,
you hate it, right? Like when Gretzky first came to prominence as a young road hockey elite.
Right.
I was a Mike Bossy fan.
Okay.
Right? Yeah. I resisted the trend, right?
Right.
I'm a Bossy guy. All you losers hopping on the Gretzky bandwagon.
Sure.
His GWGs and his feathered hair. What are you doing? No, I had a bowl cut in 1980, so it didn't matter.
I think you should bring that back.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm thinking about rocking the mullet again, right? The hockey hair.
I think we've seen that more recently than.
Yeah, it's just sort of longer everywhere, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, the idea of Mario Lemieux, I didn't like him when he came in either, right? And
right.
So you spent half of his career not appreciating his greatness for one reason or another, right? Whether it's like all these newfangled gadgets.
Yeah.
Right? Tiger Woods, right? You miss half of his first part of his career going, what is this? You're doing things totally different,
yeah.
Right? When Crosby came along, right, I thought, I'm going to enjoy this guy
right.
from start to finish for all that he is. Leaf fans are in that same thing now where you've gone from sucking
yeah.
for half a century.
We love you, Tyler Bozak.
Right.
Oh, we have real stars now.
Right. But then as soon as you have real stars,
you worry.
You're spending all your time going, the window. Where's that window?
Yeah.
I think
what's
it's closing.
Cost? What's
I think it's closing the
it
window.
Closing already? They're yeah, 20 years old.
Honestly, this is exactly right. Right. You're like, we're going to have to lose all this supporting. We need yeah. to win now. Blah, yeah. blah, blah. Yeah. I totally get that.
Yeah.
I hate the Leafs.
Yeah, of course.
But I totally get how you've gone from, you know, you are, as a Leaf fan, you are the total Canadian transition from winter to summer. Where's my fucking spring?
Yeah.
Where have we gone from where we're close to contending, we're contending,
yeah.
and you go, we went from turning the fucking heat on, I got the air conditioning on right now.
Yeah.
That's what the Leafs have and their fans have gone through. You went... Yeah. We had a season where we were biblically bad.
Yeah.
And then you go.
A few of them.
Yeah, no, but
the last one.
Yeah, and then you go, whoop, and then Matthews comes in, and you go, whoosh, and you had a season where
yep.
even when you made it in that, you slid right in, that was still a good team.
Yes, it was.
Right? And then you're out in the first round, and yep. then last year, much talked about, you're out in the first round.
Yep.
This year, probably out in the first round.
Well, we can talk about that.
Yeah. There's still 40 games.
We appear to be staring down Boston again.
I get that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's there has been no spring
yeah.
for you guys. And you're staring down a fall. I can see fall for you guys.
Hmm. Well, I don't know if I agree with that. However.
Okay, no, I'm not saying it's today. I'm not saying it's next year. But right. it may very well be the year after that.
Okay. Point being, when you find yourself thinking Rob thoughts about the Leafs, themarnerjar.com.
Okay, sorry about that. Yeah,
it's good. That this was the whole point, right? That instead of just enjoying it, everybody gets all worked up. Stop it. Enjoy it for a little while. And if you can't, you got to throw a buck towards sick kids. Could be way worse. Themarnerjar.com. We'll share it in the show notes. Did you have a chance to, or did you see the showdown between Nathan MacKinnon of the Colorado Avalanche and his coach on, I think it was Thursday night?
I did.
For those who missed it, essentially the Avs are trailing by, I think just by one.
One.
With yep. 3 minutes left. And it apparently all goes down that the coach, Jared Bednar, has decided it's not yet time to pull the goalie. And Nathan MacKinnon, his star center, who's just torching the league this year. They have
he of Sidney Crosby's sidekick from your Tim Hortons
perhaps no longer. Maybe Sid's his sidekick now.
Well, Sid's the straight man. Yeah, that's for sure.
True. But that line of Landeskog with Rantanen, I think they're all at this point on pace for well over 100 points. Like,
well,
it's just
I know Landeskog has the most goals of the game. He's closing in on 30 goals.
Yeah, and Rantanen was just torching people with assists and whatever. So maybe McKinnon's got to get it together. I don't know.
Get your shit together. Yeah. I think you're in third or fourth in NHL scoring.
Loser. So he's upset that they're trailing. This is McKinnon now. And he's turning around and chirping at his coach.
It's actually Calgary had just scored an empty net goal.
No. They were down by they were down by one. He wanted the goalie pulled.
They pulled the goalie, and I think he felt like it was too early at 3 minutes.
Okay. So he's turning around and yelling at his coach, and the coach is yelling back, and you can read
Bednar's not even yelling at him.
No,
Bednar's keeping his shit under control.
So McKinnon turns and yells at Bednar that, you know, he doesn't like how all this has gone down with 3 minutes left. And Bednar, as you point out, calmly says, "Hey, you just do your job." And McKinnon yells back at him, "Do your job!
Do your fucking job!"
Yeah. And then falls off the bench.
Well, and he smashes the Gatorade bottle first, right? And then he's so indignant.
Yeah.
He goes over backwards off the bench, and you're like, "Oh, and now I'm really pissed because now I."
And that is like the nightmare scenario for how yelling at your boss would go for most of us, right? You would then turn and fall down or trip over something. Finally take this huge stand.
I'm walking
and then
out.
Slip
and I've tripped over some photocopier paper. No, I'm down. Fuck you. And you.
Oh, man.
And they both have downplayed
of
it.
Of course. Yeah.
Which you do.
Yep. Do you think, Nathan McKinnon is one of, at worst, the top 10 players in the league right now, with a still fairly unknown coach. Do you think this matters? Is this just a superstar can get away with this? Or
for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
It doesn't matter.
And this is, I think what's not being talked about here is they are speaking of that empty net goal that went in, and you're pissed. They've lost 8 of 9 games.
Yeah.
Senators territory-like. Yeah, that they're sucking and this is happening. And I think, you know, you can paint it on they pulled the goalie now. They didn't pull the goalie. We've lost 8 or 9. I think McKinnon's really the subcontext to all this is I'm on a fucking wicked cap-friendly deal.
Yeah.
And I'm making Landeskog and Rantanen in a pile of fucking cake.
Rantanen is one of the members of that big RFA class we've talked about all year, right? Guys that are going to get some fat money this summer on their second deal.
Well, 85 points last year, and then he's going to get 100 points this year.
This year, yeah.
And you go, oh, wait, it's contract time. And McKinnon's saying, I'm making 6 for the next fucking gajillion years. I need fat money.
Yeah.
And who's the center on that line?
Oh, wait. It's him.
So you see, this is it. We're going to harken back to, we'll check what Rantanen gets.
Yep.
Mitch Marner, look over there.
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought it was, I bet you as a coach, you don't love it, but the guy's fired up. He's your top player. He's been producing all year. It's probably one of those ones where you just go, yeah, heat of the moment, right?
It was the heat of the moment.
Yeah.
It showed in her eyes, his eyes, somebody's. You hungry?
No.
Yeah, you know, it
much comes, ado about nothing.
The
best part of the whole thing is just falling off.
And if you're Jared Bednar,
whoa,
it doesn't go well.
No,
because there are 100 Jared Bednars.
Yes, you're not Joel Quenneville, right? You're not some of these high-end guys.
There are 5, you know, top-end, world-class centers in the world.
Have you, I'm sure you haven't been watching, like has Ottawa played Colorado yet? Have you seen those guys?
Ottawa, we saw them early in the season. We went through Colorado, and thankfully they're shit in the bed. And they are here this week.
Yeah. They're going to play Toronto this week as well. But that line, I've watched a couple minutes of a couple different late games, right? Or a period here, a period there, where they're playing against somebody, and they are just because for as long as either one of us can remember, like Gabriel Landeskog, captain of the Kitchener Rangers, well, he's going to be the next Mike Richards. That was the name they always compared him to, right? The Swedish Mike Richards. And they made him
the
captain.
Kitchener connection doesn't hurt.
No, for sure. And at like 19, they named him captain. And it was all like, all right, like I guess we'll see. And he was fine. I think there was nothing wrong with him. He's a good player. But never anything like this.
He was your 40 to 50 point guy. And you thought, when are we going to get more from that guy?
Yeah. But here they are, the three of them, just torching the league. Probably in the race with the Monahan line in Calgary.
And the Pasternak line in Boston.
That's probably, you know, it'd be one of those three that are the best lines in the league. Just unreal the way they blow through people.
The problem in Colorado is, and where they've really hit the skids, is they have a top three first line. Then they have three 3.5 lines, right? Like, it doesn't just fall off to go, we have no legit second line.
Right.
They may not have a third line either. It may just be four.
Yeah, depth-wise, like, people always talk about that, not to the same extent, but with Boston, that top line is so good, and then there's a substantial drop-off. It's nothing like the drop-off that Colorado sees.
Yeah, no.
And that'll get swallowed up in the first round by a Nashville defense or whatever, well, right? Like, they're going to have to do something at the deadline.
And if it's not the first line, I mean, the first round, well, at this point now, they went from leading the Western Conference sort of 20 games in to being
life and death kind of
for a wild card.
Yeah.
Right? They are there. They'll get chewed up. They'll get chewed up by good teams.
Or something like that'll take them apart, I would think.
Agreed. 100%.
Last Thursday night, I just thought this was interesting. There's not a ton here, but Peter Laviolette and John Tortorella with their teams, the Predators and the Columbus Blue Jackets, faced off on a Thursday night. Do you know, and I think we're going to talk a little bit about goalie Bob here, from a coaching standpoint, do you know that why that game was significant?
Laviolette, both Americans?
Yes.
Nope.
Okay. Going into that game, Peter Laviolette had 598 career wins. John Tortorella had 599 career wins. No American head coach had ever reached 600 career wins.
So the race was on.
Peter Laviolette had his team won, would have tied Tortorella. If Tortorella won, he would have got there first. And the Columbus Blue Jackets won the game. John Tortorella, first ever American head coach with 600 wins.
Fonzie.
Yeah.
Look at you, Fonzie. I'm so proud of you.
He had bigger fish to fry during the week as his goalie, after a loss to Tampa where he was pulled, not happy with the way it had all gone down. Apparently, he, after being pulled, went down, didn't stay on the bench, went down into the locker room. Eventually, one of the trainers or staff went looking for him, said, you know, we need you on the bench, you're the backup. He'd already showered and gotten dressed. I'm not going the fuck back out there.
And then went home.
So I guess some of the leadership group amongst the players tried to talk to him. He wasn't enjoying that. There was supposed to be a meeting with team management. And I guess at the end of the day, on the Thursday, they kind of said, you know, he won't be with us for this game. And then we're wiping it away, and he's now back with the team. But, man, I don't know what to make of that. He's an unrestricted free agent at the end of the year, as is Panarin.
Yep.
And they need to find a way, preferably, to keep both those guys, but at least one of them. And at this point, it doesn't look like it's going to be Bob.
They're not keeping either one of them. Both have said, we will go to market. Neither one of those guys are staying there.
Right.
And it's such a dilemma because they're a good team.
They are.
Columbus is in that top three in the Metro.
That's right. Yep.
And I don't see them leaving. Now, we talked about in our season's previews and our forecasting.
Yep. Brilliant as always.
Riddled with errors, as always. Some gems, some duds. But guess what? That happens to the best.
Got
of
us
them.
Through another week of content. sorry, folks.
They are in such a bind because what do you do? right? You are in that 2-3 hole in that division.
Yeah.
And people are talking about you as contenders, maybe not legit,
you know,
cup contenders,
conference finalists, maybe.
This is it, like in that mix to sort of at least second round kind of stuff. Yet you're legitimately your best scorer, and your 2-time Vezina goalie both have said, yeah, it seems unlikely that we will resign here.
Yeah.
Right? And in any other place, you're like, oof, we're flipping them out.
Got to trade you.
We're flipping them out.
Yeah.
To get something for them. Whereas now you're like, but
Columbus has never won a playoff round.
So why start now, Columbus?
Yes, that's
trade those bitches today.
When if as you've kind of pointed out, do you knowing, like, you can't have both those guys walk out at the end of the year for nothing, but you can't trade them. What are you doing?
I'm trading them.
You're trading both of them.
I'm trading both of them.
I think
they're not winning this year.
No, not Washington has been far better than anyone predicted. Pittsburgh is back. Honestly, Toronto's having the best year that anyone can remember for them, and Tampa looks like just unstoppable.
Okay, and Tampa as good as Toronto's been.
Tampa's crushing.
Tampa's 10 or 12 points out in front of them already.
Yeah, I'm just pointing out that it's a strong East.
For sure. And you look at the Bruins have won 8 of 9.
Yes.
And they're healthy now.
Yep.
And honestly, God, Rask, after Halak carrying the mail for them, Rask is now on fuego.
Yeah, it's true. I don't know how you sell it to that fan base, to that market. We're not even trying this year. We're trading both these guys. I think my plan would have been I'm trading Panarin and I'm keeping the goalie for the playoff run. But now he's shown more than anything else that he's definitely not staying. Right? Yeah. You got no chance. That bridge has been burned.
See, and with all the talk, and we'll just use Nashville as a Pekka Rinne. Dynamite for a couple of years.
Yeah.
But then a couple of playoffs where you go, they are super hot on UC Saros in behind them. I don't know if I agree or not.
No.
But if it came right down to it, you went, all right, we're going to flip Rene.
Yeah.
We have Saros, who we believe is the backup there. Now, I know in Columbus they feel like in his name,
Korpisalo. Yeah.
Is going to be the guy, but
I'm not sold.
I'm more sold on UC Saros than I am on Korpisalo. So
what does knowing that so currently Bobrovsky is the fourth highest paid goalie in the league behind
Carey Price,
Lundqvist, and there's one other I forget.
It's not Rinne?
It might be Rinne. I believe that Bobrovsky right now is at 725. I'm not prepared to give him that again, let alone a raise, which is what he wanted or wants. Where do you, I think for you and I have talked about it, Philly seems like the fit, but I'm not giving him 8 years when I got Carter Hart that's probably a year and a half away. I don't know what the fit is there either.
I think how much pressure is Fletcher or look to Edmonton? How much pressure?
Edmonton's interesting. They got no cap space, but it's interesting.
Okay, but you're also giving something up.
Yeah,
is really what I'm saying. And now, sure, I don't think that Columbus wants.
But even if he makes it to free agency, more is what I'm thinking of. Forget a trade. Would you give him 725 today?
See, it's the 8 year. It's the 7 years.
Yeah.
Let's look at this, right?
Yeah.
It's,
if I'm Philly, I'll give it to him for 2 years.
How old is he? He's got to be closing in on 30.
He is 30.
Okay. So I got to give him 7.58.
Ooh, man.
Hey, two time Vezina in the last 3 years.
That money, I need you to be a Vezina candidate every year.
Yeah.
You don't have to win it, but you have to be.
I think more importantly than that, I need you to not be a me first, team second bitch.
Okay. I think that's reasonable. So who's got the, who can do that?
Well,
Philly could do it for 2 years.
We've talked about it, right? In the beginning of the season, we talked about how deep, or not even when they released Hextall.
Yeah.
We talked about them having the top-rated farm system and prospect pool.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think at 30, if you could flip for Bobrovsky, if I'm Columbus, I don't want your picks. I want prospects, like blue chippers. Right. Forget your picks.
I think we're having two different conversations.
Okay.
I'm here on July 1st. I don't know if anyone's going to trade for him. I don't know what you might get for him. On July 1st, if you're Philly, will you give him 7 years at 7.5?
Yep.
There's not a chance for me because I'm going Carter Hart in 2 years, in a year and a half.
Oh, I think,
and I'm not paying a 37-year-old goalie to.
Okay, that's at the end of his contract.
Yeah, and we always part ways here.
Yeah, and to me, what we're looking at is if you felt like you have your front end is not that bad. If you felt like you could be better than you are right now, if you had the opportunity for 5 years of top end goaltending. You flip Carter Hart and a couple of other pieces in your minor league system for Bobrovsky, and you sign him for 7 years, and you get four or five top-notch years out of that, I'd do that.
Even if I agreed with you, which I don't,
What makes this fucking show fantastic.
I'm waiting for July 1st, and then I'm trading Carter Hart to someone else for something on top of Bobrovsky. I'm not giving him to Columbus with 2 months until free agency.
Okay, but why?
Because why would I?
Well, why wouldn't you?
Because Carter Hart is a very good prospect, yeah, and
but
I don't have
but
to.
But Carter Hart's not
Philly's season.
Carter Hart's not helping
Philly's
Columbus.
Philly's season
is done.
Over.
So what do you care?
So I'm not
you don't
giving
need to
up.
Expose Carter Hart to that bullshit now.
Okay, so send him back to the Phantoms. Wait until July 1st. Sign Bobrovsky then, and then trade Carter Hart to somewhere else.
Because by July 1st, you're missing out on that if Columbus chooses to flip him early.
Well, it depends
you don't
what
have
he wants
the July-
to do.
You don't have that.
Just because I trade for him now doesn't mean he will automatically resign with me.
All right, so if we're going to make that jump, neither one of us
know. Calgary would be a good spot for him.
Neither one of us know what's happening.
Of course not.
If we go that route, you know, and you're totally, but if you sort of hedge your bets to what you think may happen.
Yeah.
If Columbus decides to trade him before free agency.
Yeah.
Right, before the trade deadline.
Yeah.
They're trading him to someplace who's going to be able to sign him. Nobody else is going to take him for a run.
That's up to him.
For a run. Of course it is.
Yeah.
But
so who's that at the deadline? Who wants him for a run? Who's in the mix?
Okay, but this is what I'm saying.
Who could be in the mix with a starting goalie?
Yeah, nobody. Because
again, Calgary's interesting to me. Calgary might shore them up.
And right at this moment, had we been smart, we would have had
a tablet or something here. Sometimes the road just goes where it goes.
Yeah, cap friendly open up here. But I'm not sure they have the money. Maybe if they didn't have James Neal signed for...
Could you send Fox and Shillington and Mike Smith for...
Fucking Mike Smith.
Yeah, but just to make the money work.
Yeah, yeah.
For the rest of this year for Bobrovsky. Something like that. They've got some pretty good young defensive prospects. And then maybe he helps them to... Because they're a good-looking team with horrible goaltending. They're running David Rittich out there over Mike Smith all the time now.
And Rittich has looked quite good.
He's looked better than Mike Smith.
For
anyway.
Sure. Yeah, this is it.
So I don't know. To me, man, it's so much money for a goalie and it never works. Like it's not working for the Habs.
Right.
It's
you and I sat here with,
it's too much.
Scott, TSN 1050.
Scott MacArthur.
MacArthur.
Yeah.
And that's 14 months ago.
Yep.
Right. And he was saying, as you were, and the two of you were on the same page, I'm never paying Price that money.
Right.
I disagree.
How's it going?
I think it's going as good as it can. Right. If you look at Montreal, they are, to me, you can only draft a number one goalie. That's the point I made to Scott MacArthur that day. You can only draft him. You don't trade for number one goalies.
Freddie Anderson.
Yeah.
You don't think he's a number one goalie?
I don't think he is an upper echelon elite goalie.
Okay.
Do you?
Yes, because you said differently as well back in the fall that he's probably a top 10, top 12 goalie in the league.
Okay. Oh, that makes him a top half.
And your argument just 45 seconds ago was that you don't draft number one or you don't trade for number one goalie. You don't trade for elite.
Price. This is it.
Lundqvist. But you're trying to trade for Bobrovsky.
You're trying. That's what I'm saying, is it's an absolute, and this is what brought us to this point about the pickle that fucking Columbus is in, right? That they are in this spot where your number one goalie, who you should have taken care of and locked up, is now saying, we're not coming back. I do say Freddie Anderson is definitely in the top half of the league, maybe in that 8 to 12 range.
Yeah, that's probably where I have him.
I don't disagree with that.
Yeah,
to me, he is not elite.
Okay, B elite.
I'm an athlete, Jerry.
This is far more time than I thought we would spend on Columbus, but there ended up being more meat on that bone than I thought.
Well, because clearly we disagree.
Yeah.
But to me, just to finish that before we go, and you can still disagree. What happens is if Columbus is going to flip him, they're going to have to go with Corposalo because they're not going to get a better goalie back.
That's right.
You are not going to find a team, unless it's Pittsburgh, who seems to be able to pull fucking rabbits
out
of a cap hat. Right? Yes. They go, okay, we'll take that, and we'll just trade money this way to Vegas and to those guys. And you go, I don't know.
Yeah.
But you are not going to find a contender who has the cap space to take that on now. It's got to be, if they're going to trade him, which again is debatable, it's got to be to somebody who isn't competing right now. That's my point.
So last thing on that. You've stated by the deadline you would trade Panarin and you would trade Bobrovsky.
Not ideal.
Okay, no.
But I think that's...
Do you think they will trade both of them by the deadline? Not what you would do.
I don't think they do. I think as you've said, they haven't won a playoff game. I think they look at that and go, all right, you know what?
They've never won a playoff series.
Okay, I know, but like the Raptors, you go... We're going to go all in now.
Yeah.
We're going to go all in now, and if we can't, then guess what?
I think so. I think they're going to buy before they trade at the deadline, and they're just going to try.
You asked what I would do.
Yeah, for sure.
But last time, you know, no one's asked me if I want to run their organization.
Kekalainen should be calling you up. And
that's it. Why wouldn't he? Former Jarmo Kekalainen.
Yeah. What was the other hockey thing?
Hockey. No, we did the McKinnon. We did the goalie Bob. We did the reactionary.
True. So, last week, actually, before we talk about Russell Martin.
Russell.
Have you seen the new high-end club seating that the Blue Jays are looking to sell now?
I have not.
So, they have moved the press box out of the 300 section, kind of right behind home plate, and put them kind of down with the worst fucking sight lines in the building, which is where they belong. You should be using your nicest areas for fans and not for the media. But this is right behind home plate and the baselines on the 300, and they are turning it into kind of like club seating, like most nice arenas have or whatever. There's going to be bar areas, there's going to be a restaurant area, and then a bunch of kind of seats that face out onto the field, and then a bar rail row behind that. Would you like to take a stab at what season seats in that section will cost? 81 home games in a Major League Baseball season.
$16,000.
You, my friend, could buy a half season for that.
Are you kidding me?
The first row that faces out onto the field, $33,000.
Per seat.
Per seat. For the season. But
that's almost $400 a game.
Yes, it is. It's actually $291 per game, but close enough.
No, it's not actually at all. It's
actually the next section, sorry, is where I did the math. A row behind that, where you have a bit of a bar rail and a bit of a table, but second row in this area, is $28,000 for...
God damn it.
The season.
Now,
this sounds like the platinum seats at the Leaf games or whatever, where you don't actually ever watch anything. Like, you're there for the club space or the restaurant.
Honestly, I'd be showing up if the Jays were good.
Yeah.
You pay that kind of cake. Clearly, I'm making good money.
Yeah.
And I'm just getting shit-faced.
Of course. Like, my booze better be built into my $33,000.
Well, I guess if I'm paying $33,000 for a single seat.
Yeah. So really,
like I was thinking,
I'm either $66,000 or a loser.
Man. Wow. All right. Well,
So it hasn't been officially announced yet, but there was reports all over Sportsnet that different season ticket holders and only your high-end season have been started to be shown this new area and what it's going to look like, and see if you might be interested in a $33,000 season ticket
to
the Toronto Blue Jays to watch Vladdy and no one else.
They're going to have to Bo Bichette. Don't forget Bo Bichette.
Nobody forget about Bo. Last week, the Jays trade Russell Martin to the LA Dodgers for some very low-end prospects. Not really a whole lot there. They will also be paying $16.4 million of his $20 million salary.
Fuck!
I
skimmed through the article and I'm like...
It's an important detail.
Yeah, well, that's the one thing I was left with was, is there money being retained? Oh, wait.
Almost all of it.
Yeah, 80%.
And I sort of understood that when it came to Tulo or Donaldson, that you don't really trust maybe their personalities. But all you ever hear about Russell Martin is the ultimate pro, the great teammate. And I'm not suggesting those things aren't true.
He'll play left field for you. He'll play shortstop or third base. What do you need?
Yeah. But apparently it's worth it to pay $16 million for him to go somewhere else.
And clearly we've touched on the fact that they have a pile of cake. It's not, money's not an issue there.
For Rogers. Yeah.
To me, they should have just kept that guy.
Yeah, I think so too. Now it does clog things up a little bit. I guess we're going to be going with.
What's he have left on his contract?
This year.
Just this year.
Yeah.
See, to me, you got to hold on to him for this year. You let him, Christ, you can play him at third base if you want. You can play him in left field. You're not going to contend.
No,
but we've talked.
They already have way too many guys on the left side of the infield.
No, and really, that's all I'm saying is you mentor him, you leave him to mentor at catcher.
Danny Jansen probably wouldn't have minded having him around.
How to call a game.
Yeah.
Honest to God. Now, the thing on Danny Jansen coming up was all his pitchers that we saw coming up from the minors, and there was a pile of them last year.
Yes.
Was they talked about what a great game he called.
Yep.
So maybe Jansen doesn't need Martin's skill in coaching a staff
right.
from behind the plate. But
you referenced that, you know, towards the end of the season, especially, he was playing some short, he was playing some third, he was playing some left field. All of those games, every single one of them, resulted in a loss. Not necessarily that he lost for them.
Russell, way to go, bud.
But after September 3rd, I believe it was, he did not see the field again. He did manage the final game of the season, I believe, for Gibby, before he walked out, finished his last year with a 194 batting average.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. I think his days as a starting bat.
Is his signing in November of 2014, that money well spent? It was heavily backloaded at the time. But if we think about it as an $80 million four-year deal instead of an $80 million five-year deal, it's got to be viewed as a success.
Yeah,
it?
Absolutely, because he was there. They signed him.
It's kind of the start of the whole...
The big years.
Yep.
And it was a super positive signing, right? After his time in New York and his time with the...
And Philly and L.A.
And Pittsburgh.
Maybe it was Pittsburgh, not Philly. That's right.
That he had, I think they said, in 10 of his 12 years, he had made the playoffs. Yep. He had
unheard of in
all
baseball.
In terms of four different teams.
Yes.
That his teams just made the playoffs, right?
Just
that
knew how to win.
That the pitching staffs with him behind the plate were just better.
Yeah.
And so him signing, it was a real positive at that time. Like, I don't
want to
be
the Canadian coming home, right?
And that's right. And I don't want to be a Johnny come lately and look at it and go, he's making that much money now and he's batting 194. At that time, it was, I think, even at that time, everyone felt like that's an overpay.
Yeah.
But if it is managing your starting rotation, you go, okay, we've overpaid and he stayed, right? It was a positive in that fact.
Well, and one of the things that doesn't get talked about much because of how it all wound up and him having his own catcher most of the time, but he tried hard with Dickey, right? Like, he was willing to go out and catch the knuckleball, which beat guys up pretty bad. That's why knuckleball pitchers have their own catchers, right?
And we're going to catch one every 5 days.
Right. And so he was willing to do that and try and work with Dickey. And ultimately it didn't work out, but not from any lack of effort on his part. And then the rest of the pitching staff, you're talking about bringing guys along like Osuna, who was a rookie in 2015. And you're talking about, you know, trying to turn guys into major leaguers like Aaron Sanchez and Marcus Stroman, right? You're bringing along all these sorts of guys, and he's this kind of calming.
Hey, Stroman, see if you can tuck your necklace into your jersey.
You got a favorite Russell memory from his time with the Blue Jays? Because while you're pondering that, I do agree with you that, you know, through the playoff years especially, to have that veteran catcher, you know, it was kind of a throwback. It had been a long time since the Blue Jays kind of had that guy. We were, you know, your John Bucks and your Rod Barajas and like some of these names that had kind of preceded him.
I'm trying to think of that guy who was supposed to be the guy as he came up and honestly.
Oh, J.P. Arencibia.
Arencibia, right? Because he went to the Marlins.
Yeah,
or wherever
we had
he went.
Deonor Navarro for a while and he was all right. Like he did his thing. But, you know, to have a guy like Russell Martin who brought all that winning with him, it was a big deal.
Just that. I think, again, to restate it, how well he called a game.
Yeah.
Right? You got guys who don't trust their stuff, or to me, he was that calming guy behind the plate who said, no, don't shake me off.
Yeah. Right?
He brought with him the track record that said, I call an A-class game.
Well, and amazing how rare that anyone did shake him off, as you're saying, right? He had that reputation back there. If you're putting down the curveball down and away or whatever, that's what's coming, big man. Here we go, right? Like the guys just trusted him implicitly.
Yeah, and you're gonna follow me.
Yep.
Right. I know what I'm doing.
Yep.
Right. And I look at also as a good Canadian guy, doesn't mind mixing it up in all those heady years when you had Batista flipping bats and pissing people off and. Yeah. You never knew when the benches were going to empty, right? It's nice. Ross doesn't mind getting out there and holding guys back and getting in the mix. Had a good beard, which means he likely had a good chin, right? So I'm thinking of that home run late in the season against the Yankees. Exactly. Yeah. That's the one I'm thinking
of. And it's a three-run shot late in the game. We'll throw the audio in here.
And the pitch and a swing and a fly ball. Well hit. Deep left field. It is gone.
Don't mess with Russell Martin.
He breaks it open with a three-run homer that has sent this ballpark into a state of hysteria.
Blue Jays still life and death to make the playoffs.
If you can throw the French broadcast
in. That's the one
I got for you. Okay, because that's the best.
Deux balles de prise à Russell Martin. Et voilà le signal de McCann. La balle est frappée avec Poche au chargon. Et... Elle est partie!
Russell! Le Québec danse! Le Canada danse! Et Russell! Quel chef-d'orchestre! Bonsoir! Elle est partie!
Yeah. For me, there's that. There is
Wait.
Okay.
Bonsoir! Elle est partie!
My earlobes are bleeding.
Okay.
I had in 2015, in Game 5, that famous seventh inning, where, first of all, he's the one who throws the ball back.
That hits the bat.
But in the bottom half of that inning.
Byung-hyun Kim or whoever that
Shin-Soo was. Shin-Soo Kim, I believe.
Game 5, whatever it was.
Could be, yeah. It's one of the Koreans. He does kind of the crazy zigzag running from first to second that forces Moreland to make the wide throw for one of the errors, stayed in the baseline, but just kind of threw him off just enough. And in 2016, in the Matt Bush comes in to pitch. Remember the Donaldson dash where he comes flying down from third to get in?
It's ballsy.
It's Russ Martin that just manages to make some contact off of Matt Bush, who no one had been touching since he'd come back in. He hustles his ass down the line after to be safe at first, and Donaldson is able to hustle in. And so those, to me, are they're kind of squib plays, right? They're not, you know, of course, the home run against the Yankees that you managed.
Blips and blasts, baby. That's just baseball right there.
You know, it was kind of cool to see Russell Martin, and, you know.
Cerebral, right? Super smart guy.
I didn't have particularly nice words for him before the last WBC, where he was only coming if he could play short. I think with a little bit of hindsight, I still don't love it, but I get it. If you didn't want to catch, you didn't want to catch, and this is what you're willing to do.
Okay, well, and you couple that with, what's his name there, Cincinnati Red first baseman?
Joey Votto.
Joey Votto. Just Canadians shitting on Canadian baseball, so what are you going to do?
But, I mean, before that, always showed up for the national team stuff, and he was willing to show up to that one. He just wanted to play somewhere else, and I wasn't in favor of that. But as a Blue Jay...
Well, what he's saying there is, yeah, you know what, I'll do this exhibition thing, but I want it to be easier on my parts.
Yeah, and I get that at 30-odd sure. years old yeah. or whatever. So.
Of course.
I think as a Blue Jay, not a whole lot else you could ask for him. So, you know, I don't... It would be weird to say I'm sad to see him go.
Not
you
sad know, at all, but not sad that we got to retain $16 million.
Yeah, for sure. Anything else for this episode, man?
Nope, but I think Russ is, just to finish that,
yeah.
he is the epitome of where pro sports is going now, right? You're front loading.
Yes.
Or even if the contract's back loaded, you are paying at the end of a contract for the first half of it.
And we've talked about that so much.
No,
right?
For sure we have.
With Donaldson,
that's what I'm saying.
And with Tulo, 15 and 16 were fun. You're
with Marlo and all those guys. It doesn't matter what the sport is.
Yeah.
Right, you are when you get to be in the sort of the last third of your career, yeah.
But specifically with the Jays, right? That 15-16 run, it was fun. You're having to pay for it now.
Well, this is it, and it's like any party anybody has, right? Christmas, all those things, right? You're like, oof, January, the bills are coming in.
Yeah.
Oof, I hope I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
But yeah, that put baseball back on the map.
For sure.
In Toronto and in Canada to a greater extent,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely, yeah.
And so, yeah, I don't think if they manage this properly and it takes a couple more years before they can start to contend,
yeah.
they won't have lost, it won't have gone back to its bleakest days in...
I hope not.
I don't believe so. I don't think there'll be enough time in between for that...
So you hope Vladdy kind of excites some people, even if the team isn't
very good. For that euphoria to completely wane, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I think they will have hooked enough people back in that, yeah, it won't reach the depths that reached before. So as you say, to me, yeah, guys like Martin and Tulowitzki and all that, the money you spent, yeah. that's where you're noticing it, all those butts in the seats and the change in environment, right?
Yeah.
That high-pitched squeal in the 90s when they were winning World Series to the sort of
guttural
thunderous roar. Growl that yeah. you could hear in 15 and 16. The crowd had changed, and Toronto had changed as a sporting market.
Yeah.
So, yeah, good on it. Good on it. And money well spent, and good luck, Russ.
You can give us a follow on Twitter at Tall Can Audio. Hit us up at facebook.com/TallCanAudio. And I think that's probably about it for this one. So we'll wind it down and we'll catch you on the next episode of Tall Can Sports.
See ya.
We're not going to be fucking sucked this year. Yeah!
Thanks for listening. You can get more TCA at tallcanaudio.com or by searching Tall Can Audio on your favorite podcast app.